This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Galatians with final warnings and benediction. Then we launch into 1 Peter with intro, born anew to a living hope as obedient children, and the precious blood of Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Easter hymn, With High Delight, it talks there about songs of sweet jubilation. And in the gospel reading for this coming Sunday, according to the one-year lectionary, Jesus speaks of both sorrow and joy. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, April the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Wheaton will join us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary. We'll talk about artificial wombs with Katie Faust of the Children's Right Organization, Them Before Us. Then Lyman Stone, research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, joins us to talk about America's women's attitude about fertility and contraception. There's a lot of inconsistency there. Pastor Will Wheaton is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the book Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Wheaton, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
It's called Jubilate. What is that?
Yeah, so I mean, like, here's another one of these jubilation Sundays or rejoicing. So, I mean, jubilate is like rejoice. So you remember we had gaudete in Advent, and then we had laetare, and so, I mean, three different words for rejoicing, but the idea is still the same. So jubilate, rejoice. And it's from the intro of the day. So this is a day that vividly recalls the Easter baptisms and confirmations, and it prays for all who have been admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion. Religion is the original word in the collect, to the Christian way of life. And the gospel already is starting to look forward to the ascension and beyond, but it has application to our time from our baptism into Christ until the glorious moment of Christ appearing. We're in the little while. And as we wait in that little while, the joy of where we're headed actually breaks back into time and makes this be for us a time of rejoicing, even amid the sorrows and griefs that are headed our way, as Jesus will make clear in the gospel reading for the day to his disciples.
Just before we get to that gospel reading in John's gospel, Jesus is going to talk a bit about sorrow. There's sorrow awaiting the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to fit in Easter.
Oh, but it does, because even though you have the joy of the life of the age to come in this age you still have all kinds of sorrows that visits you. To be a Christian is not to be a person without sorrows, not to be touched by the sorrows of this life. No, they continue to come aplenty your way, but the joy that is yours in Jesus is a joy that can actually weather the storms of this world's sorrows, because it's anchored so deep in the resurrection and in what the resurrection brings to you. So it does fit with Easter because, you know, it's like a frame, if you will, like the darkness of the sorrows of this world is framed for the light and joy of the resurrection itself. I think we'll see as we work our way through it.
Let's begin with the intro, where in the name is derived, as you said. And it's from Psalm 66.
Yeah, Psalm 66. The antiphon at the beginning is just the first and second verses. And then our version continues with verse 3. That actually was where the intro used to stop. It didn't go on. But we've added in LSB verses 5 and 8 and 9. So it goes like this. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Jubilate. Alleluia. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Alleluia. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you, or I like it better in the King James, they come submitting themselves to you. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Alleluia. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Alleluia. So if you're hearing that, say that the big thing about this Sunday is that we have cause to rejoice in God, to jubilate in him, and to have his song, his praise on our lips. You're hearing it correctly.
How does the collect read?
The collect is really interesting. It reads like this in our LSB. Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted to the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now, Luther D. Reed, in his wonderful little book on the Lutheran liturgy, notes that the earliest versions of this collect come from the Leonine Sacramentary. It's attributed to Pope St. Leo the Great, probably not from his hand. And it simply says, though, return into the way, which is an obvious reference to the way the early Christians spoke of their faith and the manner of their life. They just called it the way. I was blessed to have a lovely conversation with Dr. Hurl yesterday. We were wandering all over the place in our talk, and he told me one of the things he's been reading recently. It was a book by a Mennonite, and I'm going to get the title wrong probably, The Slow Ferment, I think is what it was called. And the guy set out to research, how did the early church do its missionary outreach? He wanted to know what its strategies were. So he was studying that. And, you know, of course, I laughed and I said, and he finally realized there weren't any. And Joe says, that's it exactly. He realized there weren't any. What they did was begin to live a brand new life. And that had an enormous attraction to the people around them, that they walked in the way. Think about how the Didache, that oldest document that we have outside of the New Testament that reflects the impact Christ's gospel has. And it just begins with, you know, there's a way of life and there's a way of death. And the way of life, that's the Christian way. And so this prayer is a prayer, especially for those who were newly baptized, brought into Christ or confirmed into Christ, that they would be strengthened to walk in that way. It is the way of union with Christ that then shines forth in their lives and begins to attract and pull in the world, who is like very curious about this weird new way of living that these people have, forgiving their enemies, taking care of the poor and the sick, and just bothering about people that no one actually besides them bothered with. It was an amazing turn. And so the collect is, oh Lord, you know, you show people who are in error, that is the world, the light of your truth so that they can turn into the way of Christianity. Now, somewhere along the line of righteousness got tacked onto that, and Reed rightly notes that that sort of restricts the thought. And its insertion probably shows us that by that time, they'd kind of forgotten how the early church, like the book of Acts, talks about Christianity just as the way. There's one more thing that's really interesting in the collect, and that is that the Latin is way more forceful than the prayer that we may avoid the things that are contrary to their profession or confession. The Latin was respuere, which means, well, eject out of the mouth. So in other words, Lord God, help these people to spit out everything that's contrary to their profession of loyalty to Christ. And it reminds me of the way how in some of the early baptismal liturgies, at the renunciation of the devil, the catechumens would be instructed to spit in his direction, which was always toward the west, the place of gathering darkness, spit on him. And then they are turned around and they make their confession of loyalty to Christ. So the collect has a lot of interesting things like that in it. And again, as I said at the beginning, it doesn't actually have the word church in the original. I just talked about the fellowship of Christ's religion. Religion is not a dirty word. James actually does use it, right? So I think Lutherans tend to avoid it just because it sounds like rules and regulations. But it's more than that. It's a way of life. It's the Via Christi.
So where did we get the idea? And I think both of us were probably taught this at one time, and may have even taught it ourselves early in our ministries, that the Christian life is indistinguishable from the life of the believer. That it's somehow, you can't tell the difference between a Christian, only God can see faith. The Christian life is not noticeably different, because just a cursory glance at what Jesus has to say about the lives of his disciples proves that one wrong. But we got that idea, and it strikes me in this day and age, we simply cannot countenance that error any longer, because Christians have to look different from the world around them nowadays.
Where did it come from? I suspect it was just the recognition that there is such a thing as a pagan morality. You think about some of the great philosophers and how they tried to live, or a Marcus Aurelius and the way that he would live faithful to his Stoic principles. He lived a very moral life. You could look at that and see that. But it was never the way that the Christians lived, because their life really was characterized by something that Marcus Aurelius never had, and that was the joy of forgiveness and resurrection, the joy of life eternal. It perked and animated through their entire way of thinking and living, and so they lived toward a future that they firmly believed was coming. They knew it was coming because Jesus had already been raised from the dead, and his body, his physical body, has been brought into that life that will never end, made incorruptible. Knowing that that's where they were headed, their lives were really different. And they were different because they were filled with this joy and this love that did not need to protect itself, because it knew that the Lord had their back. He would raise them from the dead, and he had forgiven all their sins.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We are looking forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary, headed toward the gospel reading in John 16 and Jesus talking about turning sorrow into joy. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 66:3. Family is a precious blessing. It is the bedrock for all that is good in society. My name is Rahema Kavuga, Director of Synod Relations at Lutheran Church Extension Fund. In the latest issue of Interest Time, we explore the pivotal role the church plays in the family, provide resources to help strengthen families, and highlight LCMS ministries repairing those that have broken. Visit interesttime.org to read more.
The light of God's Word in a world of darkness. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is LCMS missionary Pastor John Bombaro. The Coeur d'Alene area in North Idaho has a new confessional parish committed to the Lutheran liturgy, excellence in biblical teaching, and faithful pastoral care. Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church of Hayden, Idaho, meets at 9 a.m. for our Augsburg Academy and 10 a.m. for the Divine Service of Holy Communion, at which we encounter the real voice and real presence of Jesus Christ. For our location or to join the growing family of Lutherans dedicated to the sacraments, confessions, and historic liturgy, visit blessedsacramentlutheranchurch.com.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to the fourth Sunday of Easter Jubilate with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Well, let's get into the two options for the Old Testament reading, beginning with Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 25.
Okay, Isaiah 40, verses 25 to 31. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, Yahweh, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Just one of the most beautiful passages in the Old Testament. You can imagine the ancient people and how they experienced the movement of the heavenly bodies, right? And God, as they watched, those same patterns kept faithfully recurring. And so God speaks to them on that basis. He's like, you know, I'm shepherding those stars. And there's a great hymn by, I think it is Vida. From shepherding of stars that gaze toward heavenly fields of light, I come with tidings to amaze you watchers in the night. It's a Christmas hymn. But that idea of the angels as being God's shepherds who faithfully get the stars across the sky and take care of the heavenly lights, it's a beautiful picture. And God's like, if you look up there and keep track, you're going to notice that I'm not losing any of them. I've kept track of all of them. Hey, if I can keep track of them, do you think I can keep track of you? Why do you think then that my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God? Like, haven't you really known and heard? I'm the Lord. I'm the everlasting one. I'm actually the creator of the ends of the earth. And I don't wear out. I don't get tired. And above all, my understanding is unsearchable. So whenever we come with our reason, we have a little bitty piece of ability that God imparts to us to understand and reflect on him. But he is so far beyond. It would be like the little kid who goes splashing in the ocean and say, and then boasts to his friend, I know all about the ocean. I've been in it, right? You know, he knows the little bit of the ocean that he's actually experienced. That's how our mind and the greatest exercise of our reason is with God. His understanding is unsearchable. It would be like us trying to understand everything that lives in the ocean. And then he says that he is the one who gives power to the one who is weary and faint. That's going to become a big point in the gospel reading for today, where we're going to hear about the pains of a woman in childbirth, pains that become so unbearable they actually don't think they can take it anymore. And yet, the ones who wait on the Lord continually renew their strength. They get to mount up with wings like eagles. So they're going to fly through the difficulties and the hardships and the trials of this life. And through the Lord's own strength, they're going to find them actually bearable. He is the one who will give them the power to keep on walking, to run and not grow weary. It's just one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I like it so much that I hate to hear it sort of brought down to that hymn, Eagle's Wings. I think it's too beautiful for that.
The alternative is Lamentations 3:22 and following.
Yeah. You know, what had happened? With Lamentations, remember, it looked like all the promises of God were at their end. It looked like everything had collapsed. Jeremiah is looking at a city in ruins. And as he's contemplating the ruin, what looks like the end of all the promises of God, he sings these words, "The steadfast love of the Lord." That's the Misericordias Domini that we had last week. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." So notice that theme, that waiting for the Lord. It was in the Isaiah passage, and it's here. He's good to the one who waits for him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That means not griping while you wait. "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his hand on his mouth and let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults." This will tie into some of the epistle reading shortly. "For the Lord will not cast forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from the heart or grieve the children of men." He does not willingly grieve the children of men. So, which tells us that when the sorrows come into our life, as they will come, they're not willy-nilly, and they're not out of God's control. The sorrows that do come to us always come as, well, Chemnitz put it so beautifully, you know, the great second Martin of the Reformation. He says that the Lord has prepared from eternity also the crosses by which each of us will be conformed to the image of his beloved Son. So when the troubles come, we shouldn't just fall apart and think, oh no, this is, you know, God, what are you doing? This is out of control. Instead, we need to be able to receive them as gifts from him, just like Jesus received his cross from his Father as a gift. So we receive the many crosses, the tribulations and trials and difficulties of our lives as gifts from the Father who actually loved us. And as we bear them in patient waiting for the Lord to grant us rescue, and for the Lord to work through them to give us his great blessing. In the end, we'll see that they all were for our blessing.
The psalm is a portion of Psalm 147, the first 11 verses.
Yeah, Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." You might think that would almost fit better for Cantate Sunday, but the point is, this is jubilation. And in jubilation, you know, we're going to be praising God. And the song that we sing is going to be a song that we can sing even in the midst of sorrow and grief. "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel." Look at this. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." So if you're sitting out there today and feeling rather brokenhearted, and you're wondering how on earth you could be joying in the Lord, this is how, because the Lord promises you that he sees that broken heart and he will heal it, and he knows how to bind up all of your wounds. "He determines the number of the stars. He gives them to all of them their names." You'd think, obviously, ties right back to the words we heard from Isaiah 40. Then the antiphon, which would come before and after, and possibly repeat it in the middle of the psalm. "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And that should stress to us that our understanding isn't. So when the troubles come and we say, Lord, I just don't understand. The answer is, of course you don't understand. But he understands, who understands all. And you can rest in that. The Lord lifts up the humble. That is the person who submits himself to what the Lord is giving. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. Those should be familiar words to Lutherans, because that's the end of the returning thanks, or at the end of the meal, we recite the words of this psalm before we give thanks to the Lord.
We're talking with Pastor Will Wheadon, going through the propers for the fourth Sunday of Easter, Jubilate Sunday, according to the one-year lectionary. We have two possible epistle readings on the other side of the break. Belated birthday greetings to the U.S. Air Force Reserve. The USAF Reserve was officially established by President Harry Truman on April 14th in 1948. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports all Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains who serve in the reserves, active duty, the National Guard, Civil Air Patrol, and the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Find out about their service at lcms.org/armedforces. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. We'll be looking at 1 Peter 2 and 1 John 3 next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Galatians with final warnings and benediction. Then we launch into 1 Peter with intro, born anew to a living hope as obedient children, and the precious blood of Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheadon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
What is chastity? Chastity can be defined, says Stephanie Neugebauer, as submitting the whole self, particularly one's sexual self, to God's good design and purposes. If you want to learn more about what it means to be chaste, to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, in which we discuss chaste community. Visit cph.org/witness to order a copy, or visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year lectionary, Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is our guest. There are also two different paths that we could take in the epistle reading, beginning with 1 Peter 2, 11 through 20.
Yeah, and let's just note that this is, how do I put this? Last week would have been the continuation of this epistle reading. So the epistle last week had, you know, the example of Christ as our good shepherd and how we should suffer the way that he said. He left us an example that we should follow as he did. Those words fall right after these words. And whenever dealing with 1 Peter, it's worth remembering that many scholars do think this book was actually maybe first sort of a mystagogical catechesis on baptism, which Peter delivered as a homily. And then somebody said, you know, we should really send that around. And they made it into a letter to send to others. It sort of reads like a baptismal homily in many, many ways. So notice that if you're dealing with somebody that's just been newly baptized, which the church is generally doing during the Easter season, then these words, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Let's stop for a second there, because I think those words can be confusing. Your soul in biblical usage isn't just talking about some piece of you. It's actually a way of describing the entirety of your life. That's your soul, the whole of you. And against that, you have a sinful flesh, what we would call the old Adam inside of you, that rises up and wants to insist on doing things his way. And so Paul would describe this as the battle between the spirit and the flesh. The spirit's tugging you toward eternal life, toward a life of communion with God in love. And the flesh is tugging you toward instant gratification, pleasure, satisfying what you want at the moment. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And these things are engaged in a battle, in a war. And it's really helpful if we are able to sort of step back when we're in the moment of temptation and recognize, okay, this is actually warfare. And the thing that's very tempting to my flesh is actually aiming at hurting my whole life in God. It's waging war against my soul. And so it's something that I need to abstain from as a sojourner and exile. I'm a person who belongs to this age that's coming. I don't belong to this age anymore. I've been baptized into Christ's life that never ends. And because of that, I'm a child of the, I'm a colonist from the future. And if I'm going to live as a colonist from the future, I want to live toward that age that is coming, where love will have triumphed over all. So that's why he can go on then, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Stop again at that little bit and think our way through that. Keeping your conduct honorable, he means not honorable in the sight of men. He means honorable in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, if you do that, people will speak about you as an evildoer. You will be intolerant. You will be regarded as a bigot. Go down the line. You're going to have all these things thrown your way, but they're actually not true. And you're going to be able to show by the goodness of your life, by the fact that you show mercy to the people who are maligning you, that you do not harbor ill will against them or resentment, that you forgive them freely in Christ. This is going to show them that what they've been throwing your way is a bunch of hooey. It's just not true. And once they're confronted with that, Peter says they may even glorify God when the day of their visitation comes. You know, when trouble comes to them, they're going to remember how you behaved, and that's going to have an impact on them. And so he goes on, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. It's a very broad sweeping statement, but he means it. And whether it be to the emperor as supreme, this is the same emperor, by the way, Nero, who would later be roasting Christians, dousing them with kerosene and lighting them on fire and using them to light up his parties at night. The man who would, in Peter's life, crucifying him upside down, ordering him to be crucified, and the same thing, having Paul beheaded. So both Peter and Paul, both of these men who lose their life to the emperor, they're both very adamant that for the Lord's sake, we need to be subject to the governing authorities, even to the emperor supreme, to governors who are sent by him. They're sent to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So the government doesn't only have a restraining function, it also has an encouraging function to encourage the people who are doing good. Because this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. And then Peter urges us, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So you're free. You're freed from the condemnation of the law, not so that you go do your own thing, but so that you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you serve him, then, you are taking away the calumny that would be tossed your way for being a troublemaker and an evildoer. As you're serving the Lord Jesus, you're going to be forgiving them, loving them, caring for them, continuing to show tenderness and mercy toward all. That's the picture of the Christians in that age, and it should be the picture of our lives too. He goes on, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Says he comes to it again, honor the emperor. And then he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. It's that same pattern, right? Just like Jesus was good and gentle to all. I mean, he heals the ear of the man who comes to arrest him, right? You know, and Peter whacks it off. He is kind. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. It's a beautiful exhortation for us to imitate Christ himself there in the way Peter describes it. That's the life we've been baptized into, this life of forgiving and loving. Then 1 John 3:1-3. This is one of those days, Todd, where I think it's like a tyranny of the or. I don't want to choose between these two. I'd love to read them both in church. They're both so good. Listen to these few brief words. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So you have this beautiful picture of you already are God's child now. And the glory that this resurrected life is bringing your way, it's heading toward you. This life you have not yet actually seen. And we know Christ is risen into it, but you haven't seen it yet. But because you know it's coming, you begin to purify yourself now, to cleanse yourself from the things that are contrary to this kingdom of love where you are headed.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We will go on to the gospel reading in John chapter 16, where Jesus speaks about sorrow and joy, as we look forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary next.
God makes promises. He gives himself and every good gift to us with a word, a pledge. That's a promise. And faith is born of these promises. hope comes alive. We live in joy and peace in the confidence that God cannot lie. So his word of promise is our life.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Commenting on the faith that sustained Jacob in exile, Luther says, "We are absolved from our sins. We have the word which is founded and stands firm on the promises of God. So we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that the God who makes promises has given those promises to us."
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for trusting in the promises of God at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. The particular Lutheran contribution to Christian symbolism is a particular kind of cross, the VDMA cross. It stands for Verbum Domini Manet in Aeternum. That is, the word of the Lord endures forever. It started out as a symbol of war during the Lutherans' battle time era and became eventually a symbol of confessing the faith. The word of the Lord endures forever. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is available from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website. Look for A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols, issuesetc.org. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary. We have the verse that interposes itself between those epistle readings and our gospel from John 16.
Now remember, it's expanded because of having dropped the gradual. So, alleluia, he sent redemption to his people, Psalm 111, verse 9a. And then, alleluia, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Alleluia. So another passage from the one of the resurrection appearances of Christ. Into John 16, then. This is just such a great text. I always call this my Lee Maxwell text, because Dr. Maxwell, you remember, Todd was an archaeologist, and he had this wonderful relationship with his parish here in Maryville that he was allowed to go dig every summer before the Mideast sort of blew up. He often went out there and did excavation work. And so he would always tell them, well, look, guys, here it comes. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. I'm getting ready to go to the Mideast. Well, of course, it's not about Lee Maxwell. It is about the Lord Jesus. He speaks these words to his disciples on the night of his betrayal. So in that context, when he says, a little while and you're not going to see me anymore, he means because he's going to be taken into death on the cross. And he's going to be buried in the tomb, and they're not going to see him. But then, again a little while, and you will see me. Well, they're just very confused. So, verse 17, so some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father, which indicates another kind of a little while, when Jesus would withdraw his visible presence from the earth and be ascended to the, he will ascend to the right hand of the Father and take his seat at the Father's right hand until the moment of his return. So they're saying, so what does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Many times that is the experience when the disciples were listening to the words of Jesus. They just didn't get what he meant. So, verse 19, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Well, then he says these words, which might have left them as confused as they were before. Truly, truly, or amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. So he promises them right up front that they're going to have grief. They're going to have sorrow in their hearts. And this is going to come at the same time that the world is rejoicing. And by world there, clearly he means the chief priests and the rulers, you know, the people that think, well, we got rid of him. And that's one problem out of our way for good. So he said, when that happens, your hearts are going to break and you're going to be very, very sad and you're going to be weeping. And then he says, that sorrow of yours, though, it's not forever. That sorrow will be transformed into joy. I wish we had an hour and a half to ponder the fact that true joy tends to be sorrow, which God transforms. We don't have time to get into it now, but just kind of hold that idea in your head. He gives them a concrete example. Verse 21, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. I don't usually tell stories about my family, and they're very grateful for that, but I have to tell this story. My wife gave birth to 3 children. The first one, Lauren, was 9 pounds, 5 ounces. She was a cesarean section because she had an occult prolapse cord. I mean, every time she pushed down into the birth canal, she was cutting off her own oxygen. So, you know, the heart monitor clearly showed distress, and they had to do an emergency surgery on Cindy and deliver Lauren. So that was child number one. Child number two, Cindy was ready to have a child regularly and went to the hospital, and we had not a repeat of the prolapse cord thing, but the doctor just kind of moved on and said, well, you've had a C-section, so we'll do another C-section on you. And neither she nor I were standing up to doctors back in those days. And as a result, our son David was born, 9 pounds, 15 ounces. But after that, Cindy and her sister, Debbie, they started just researching this like crazy, and my wife became convinced that she hadn't needed that C-section with David, and she was determined she was going to have her baby vaginally. So we sought out a midwife. We didn't go the conventional doctor route, and Cindy goes into labor. Midwife's there, very supportive, and I remember Cindy telling the midwife very vividly. She said, I can't take this anymore. I can't do this. I can't take it anymore. And the midwife was very gentle. She held her hand and she said, you're taking it now. It's not going to get any worse than this. Hang on. And you know what? Our baby elephant, Rebecca, was born 11 pounds, 5 ounces worth, delivered vaginally after 2 C-sections. I remember asking her, Cindy, was that worth it? And she was like, tears running down her face. Yes, yes, it was worth it. And I thought, this is proof of Jesus's verse here. After living through that, to be holding on to her baby and saying, no, no, I have joy that a human being has been born into the world and I am fine. it amazed me then, and it still amazes me now. So when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. He holds up this image of the mother going through the horrible pains of labor, and he says to his disciples, guys, that's kind of how it's going to be for you too. You're going to have sorrow now. You're moments away from the arrest in the garden and all that follows from that, right? You're going to have sorrow now. Think about Peter's heart breaking when he finds that he doesn't have the courage to confess as the Lord like he thought he had. He runs away weeping bitterly. He says, but I will see you again. This is resurrection talk. I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take that joy away from you. He gives them a word and promise to get them through the horribly difficult times that are coming. But they can hold on to his promise, I will see you again. And it's not an accident then that Christians, in reading these words and thinking about them during Eastertide, realized, oh, it's not just the disciples then. That has application for us too. He will see us again. He will stand on this earth. And when he does, our joy will simply have no end. And because of that, we can get through. Like the lady said to my wife, it's not going to get any worse. Hang tight, hold on. And in the end, there is joy.
Well, talk about the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday with High Delight.
Yeah, it's one of these great texts. It's by Georg Fetter, and it was translated for us by our great Martin Franzmann, who used to teach at Concordia Seminary many moons ago. And listen to how perfectly it matches everything we've been talking about the joy that comes into the midst of the trials and difficulties of life and transforms them. With high delight, let us unite in songs of great jubilation. For jubilate, ye pure in heart, all bear your part. Sing, Jesus Christ, our salvation, to set us free forever. He is risen and sends to all earth's ends good news to save every nation. True God, he first from death has burst forth into life, all subduing. His enemy doth vanquished lie. His death has been death's undoing. And yours shall be like victory. O'er death and grave, saith he who gave his life for us, life renewing. Let praises ring, give thanks, and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above from misery and death set free all joy and full consolation. I mean, it's a compact little hymn, but it gets the whole of the readings into it. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn for the day. And it's got a tune that's lively and beautiful.
Will, you host the podcast, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and you're beginning a study tomorrow on 1 Peter. Tell us about it.
Yeah, 1 Peter is one of these great underused books of the New Testament. As I said earlier, some scholars think it might even be a baptismal homily that Peter delivered and then decided to turn into a letter. It certainly works well that way. It seems to constantly be addressing newbie Christians and calling them to their new life in Christ. And it lifts up so many Old Testament themes. The idea of the royal priesthood is there, the idea that we exist to proclaim the praises of God, and that we're going to have an impact above all by how we live our lives in submission to Christ. This brings to the world a witness that is very compelling and powerful, and Peter wants us to use it to the max as we share the gospel.
Be sure to listen to Pastor Whedon's study of 1 Peter at thewordendures.org, Amazon Alexa, Google Home, TuneIn, Apple HomePod, the LPR mobile app, or a podcast provider. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Pastor Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to discuss artificial wombs with Katie Faust, and we'll spend some time with Lyman Stone talking about American women's attitudes about fertility and contraception. What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at AugsburgLutheranChurch.org.
Christians face a culture that is hostile to Christianity. How does the gospel shape our understanding of what it is to be human, of marriage and family, of Christian vocation, of how we confess Christ? Christ and Culture, Catechesis on the Apostles' Creed is the theme for this year's symposium of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, June 19th through the 21st, at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Register today at peacesussex.org/CCA.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Don't call me a young earth creationist. This is Ken Ham, author and speaker on why we can trust the Bible from the very first verse. A number of years ago, we published an article titled, "Don't Call Us Young Earth Creationists." Now, why would we say that? Well, because if we make our primary title Young Earth Creationist, we seem to agree that the debate is merely over the scientific evidence of the age of the Earth. Now, of course, examining the evidence is valuable, but the issue is not the evidence itself. The main issue is our starting point for interpreting the evidence, either fallible human opinions or infallible scripture. So the issue isn't really the age of the Earth, it's biblical authority. Will we start with God's Word? Or man's word?
There's so much more to learn about the truth of God's Word and the gospel when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. Go to AnswersRadio.com.